Are you ready for some football? Are you ready for the Buccaneers to just lay the wood? Take them out to the wood pile, man. The Atlanta Falcons. Let's go. You know, the more I study this and this and that, blah, 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 like, I'm ready for a good, solid win by the Buccaneers on the road in Atlanta. It's time. The Antonio Brown story, injuries. Oh, now Jordan Whitehead is out. Enough. Let's go. You're the Super Bowl champs. You're talented. You're led by the GOAT. You got everybody back in the coaching staff. You had all 22 starters come back. This is it. Let's go. This is Bucks Kickoff. I'm Rock Rowdy. Thank you so much for joining me. And this is always brought to you by Bill Curry Ford. Bill Curry Ford. Great idea. How about a Christmas present? How about a Christmas present for your wife, your spouse, one of your kids? Hey, new and used vehicles. Bill Curry Ford, the Curry family, been in business 61 years. 61 years, the family name. You know, you want to go to somebody that you can trust. Sean Sullivan is the Tom Brady of general managers of car dealerships. They're located a quarter of a mile right up the road on Dale Mabry from Raymond James Stadium. Beautiful showroom. Sean Sullivan is the one that you want to speak to. They give out a Joe Bucks fan discount. They love Buccaneer fans. And a nationwide lifetime warranty on new and used vehicles. BillCurryFord.com. Plenty of ways to get a hold of Sean. Go to the showroom. You can call. You can email. Again, BillCurryFord.com. Great idea for a great Christmas present. Huh? And you get the discount. Why not do it? All right, let's get into this one. I've been over at $1 this week. I was there when the news broke. Actually, the day after the news broke. That news broke about Antonio Brown and Mike Edwards late in the day. We had already left $1 place. But you know what? I know you want to know about the matchup. The players that are going to be playing on the field. So I'll delve into that towards the end of Bucks Kickoff. This is Bucks Kickoff. This is the Bucks and the Falcons. And Falcons, just like the Indianapolis Colts, even more so than last week, are really fighting for their playoff lives. One game out of a playoff spot, they're 5-6. Now, we know the Buccaneers at 8-3. The Bucs, Brady, how is he going to fare? Brady in December is lights out. The GOAT is 66-16 in December. Now, Kevin O'Donnell of Fox 13 asked him, what is it about December with you? And he was like, you know what? It's attention to detail. I don't know. I love playing. He can't explain it. He's just locked in. And the Falcons defense, they're 22nd in total defense. This is not really a good defense. They're improving a little bit. They're getting healthy like the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. On offense, the Falcons are 26. Now, Brady just owns the Falcons. And what I'm concerned about is sooner or later, he's going to lose. He is 9-0 against the Falcons in his career. That includes the playoffs and the Super Bowl. I've had a couple people ask me, like, Brady's not, he's not as sharp as he has been. No, you're right. You're right about that. And I think it's like the offensive philosophy has changed a little bit. It certainly changed from last year. Now, as we knew going in, Brady said it, Arian said it, it's a different year. You don't do exactly what you did the year before. You try to do the things that work, but you got to adjust. And it's the NFL overall. Defenses are a little bit different now. If you notice across the league, the NFL is playing more two high safeties. Brady is throwing more screens. I'd like to see him still. I'd like to see him get Gio Bernard involved a little bit more. But Brady is checking it down a lot more since the bye. Let me give you some numbers to back this up. The Bucs were 7th in the NFL, okay, in depth of target. In other words, before the bye, Brady was throwing it down the field about 8.5 yards per attempt. They were 7th, okay? No risk it, no biscuit, going down the field. After the bye, the Buccaneers are 24th, all right? He's down to 6.5 yards per attempt. Opposing, and again, He sees, he knows, he looks at the defense. And this is what defensive coordinators are telling their defenses to do. These opposing defenses are dropping back. They're giving you, it's kind of soft coverage. They're double covering Evans and Godwin. Because if you look at Evans and Godwin, if you looked at the numbers and even you're watching the game, like, what happened to Evans? What happened to Godwin? Versus the Colts in this last game on Sunday, Mike Evans, 3 catches, 16 yards. Godwin, 4 catches, 24 yards. So they're double coveraged, and the defenses are playing back. They don't want to get burned on the deep ball. No risk it, no biscuit. That was last year, and that was at the beginning of this year. It ain't that way now. And you know what? We were asking Byron Leftwich about that. You know, Gronk had such a big game last week. And so Leftwich was like, look, man, you know what I tell the receivers that aren't getting as many targets? Like, he goes, get open. Because Tom Brady is eventually going to find the open man. Playoff Lenny is your positive. Now, I don't know. Can he continue this? One of the Joes wrote on joebucksfan.com about what Arian said in one of his interviews this week. I think it was on Sirius, about him being a 240-pound back. He is thick. He is thick. And you know what? It's working. On that one touchdown run, damn, he was just, I mean, he was mowing over defenders. It isn't like he's lost anything, and it's made him stronger. Anyway, check, you want to hear a stat? This blew me away. Playoff Lenny has 51 catches, okay, out of the backfield this season. Mike Evans has one less at 50. Who would have thought that Lenny would have more catches than Mike Evans? Now, again, it's all going to come around, and Brady is in this to win. You know, there was a day Thursday, and it was NFL Network Sarah Walsh, and she said, you know, Tom, you know, with, you know, you've been playing a long time, because he had mentioned something about, I'm not 25 anymore. You know, the biggest difference between playing when you're 25 in the NFL and playing now at 44 is life. There's more things that are important that are going on. I didn't mean more important than football. He's all about football, but he just said when you're in your mid-40s, and the family, and there's a lot of things going on compared to when you're 25 years old. And then he was like, look, I'm not talking about retirement. And she said, your numbers are so good, even though you're 44. And then he was talking about what he does. He really likes seeing younger players succeed. And I think he was really honest about that. And he goes, look, I'm not talking about retirement yet. I'm not ready yet. And it really got me thinking this week. I'm like, wow. If they don't win the Super Bowl, I do see him coming back for another year. And then if they just maybe get the playoffs the following year, maybe you're 40, let's see, he's 44 now. Is he 44 now? 45? 46, 47? You know, I don't know. But again, we're doing this game here right now. All right. Let me go over the Falcons. I'll go more in depth in the Falcons in a minute. Now, they beat the Jaguars 21-14. The Jaguars, we know, are not a good team. They're not terrible. They're 2-9. It was Patterson, their running back, Cordarrelle Patterson, a career high 108 yards, back from an ankle injury. They had 149 yards rushing. He had 2 touchdowns and 108. And he was a receiver when he came out. When he got into the NFL, he was a receiver. And Arians was talking about him the other day, saying that they were looking at him. And that guy can play receiver or running back. He's dangerous. He's also strong. The Falcons only had one field goal in their two prior games, crushed by Philly, crushed by New England, prior to this Jaguars win. Do you realize that? Before this Jags win last Sunday, the Falcons only had one field goal in two games. The Falcons had turned it over 7 times. This is not a good football team. But they put it together last week, so they're feeling a little something for this one, and they're back at home in their crib, Now, Patterson had a quote after this game, and he said, "It just shows you if we put our mind to it, we can't be stopped." That's what he actually said. We can't be stopped. Listen, Patterson, I know you're a damn good running back. I know that. It's pretty obvious. But you're also going up against the number one run defense in all the NFL. He says, we can't be stopped. Falcons have this tight end, 240-pound Keith Smith. He posterized the Jaguars safety, Andrew Wingard, I think it was. He stiff-armed him all the way in. They got a tight end that, you know, I don't know why they ain't using him more. But on the defensive side of the ball, St. Pete's own Dante Fowler. If you remember Dante Fowler coming out of Florida, third overall pick in the 2015 NFL draft. That was by the Jaguars. He's starting to feel a little bit more comfortable now, okay? He returned. He sacked Trevor Lawrence in the second quarter. He also forced a fumble. He's got 3.5 sacks. He can earn an extra million with 1.5 more sacks. So he's going to be playing for something. He was injured a lot last year. I'll never forget when he was, this was the draft, the NFL draft when it was in Chicago. It was the draft where Jameis and Mariota went 1-2. Remember that? 2015? And I was in Chicago for that draft. And we were waiting around to do stuff. And after they picked him third, I told my camera guy, let's go down there. And I walked into the room where they had a little room. They had it in this old building. It was like an old school. It was a really cool draft overall, the draft in Chicago. And Dante Fowler saw me. Now, I never met him. But because we also had done a lot of high school coverage, he was like, hey, man, B.A. Brighthouse, Tampa. And I'm like, hey, congratulations. Congratulations, third overall. And he was all psyched and jacked up. And it really, his career has not gone its way. But right now, he's starting to feel pretty good. So you got to be, you know, we got to be careful about that one. Let me get more into this. Okay, here. Let me get into it. Who's playing? Who's not playing? Now, out for this game, definitely out, is Jalen Darden. All right. Concussion is still out in concussion protocol. Jordan Whitehead. That was a surprise on Friday. He's got a calf injury. And, of course, Antonio Brown and safety Mike Edwards. Edwards was hurt anyway, and Antonio Brown was certainly not going to be back for this game. The good news is cornerback Carlton Davis is back. Brashad Perryman was taken off the practice squad, so they moved his ass back up. And I've been watching him in practice. He's doing a lot of individual drills with a coach. He's trying. He hasn't been able to get that form back that he had when he came up in 2019. Remember that? So he's still somewhat of a threat. You never know. They're certainly giving Jordan Whitehead plenty of... Johnson. They're certainly giving him an awful lot of chances. How's this kickoff and punt situation? Now, I noticed this on Friday. I was like, when we got there for the interviews, it was in the beginning of practice. And I'm watching the special teams, and I don't even bother shooting any video. It's the same stuff. And I'm like, well, there's Scotty Miller. There's Gio Bernard. Where's little number one? He ain't here. Oh, that's a sign he's not going to be able to play in this game. So it looks like, from what I was watching when they do punt and kickoff coverage, it looks like Gio Bernard's going to be your kickoff return guy, and then Scotty Miller will be your returner for punts. Look for Ross Cockrell and Andrew Adams to go at safety because of the Jordan Whitehead injury. And on the other side is going to be Antoine Winfield. That kid's playing like a freaking Pro Bowl year. Holy crap. Falcons, who are out, defensive lineman Jonathan Bullard. He's got an ankle, and they get back linebacker Deion Jones. That's a big one. And cornerback Kendall Sheffield, he's going to be able to play. All right, why don't I bring in my rock lister? This one, he's only been here in the Tampa Bay area as a sports reporter for 2 years, Kevin Lewis. So you might not be familiar with him, but he is out at One Buck Place all the time. He and Kyle Berger, 1-2 punch. If it's not Berger, Big Mac, it's Kevin Lewis. And I say, you know what? let me get a different perspective. I don't want to keep just me here on Bucks Kickoff. So he's there an awful lot. He's shooting video. And let's get his take. Let's get his take on this matchup and the overall vibe, what he has noticed, all right? I'm only going to bring on somebody that is there. And this is my man, Kevin. Kevin, it's all you. All right, Kevin, I see you here all the time. You are here. You're shooting your video. You're asking questions. You're observing. So you're my rock lister for this week. Thanks for coming on Bucks Kickoff.
It's hard to believe, we're this far into the season, but there's a long way to go. I mean, 6 games left. It seemed like forever ago. Training camp, you got the same 22 guys back, plus a kicker and a punter, and now, we're down to the nitty-gritty road divisional games, and I think, Atlanta, they're 5-6, I think, and their record might not indicate just how close when these two teams play. There are always some interesting moments, and I think, the Bucks have realized that it's not going to be a cakewalk. It never is. And, the next game on their schedule is the most important one, and I think they really want to make a statement Sunday against the Falcons.
Now, we're doing this here inside One Buck, and if you do hear a little bit of crowd noise behind us, they've been doing that all year long, whether they're playing at home or whether they're playing away. Now, I thought that was a really big win to get it done in Indy because they really had not been playing that good on the road. It was a hostile environment. Some of the players were saying it was almost like a playoff atmosphere, but they ended up getting it done. What did you think of that win in Indy in that environment?
I thought it was going to be tough. I mean, I honestly thought they would probably drop that one. If they had beaten the Giants close or squeaked it out on Monday Night Football, I would have said they were in big trouble. Jonathan Taylor, who's the best running back in football going into that game. Indianapolis, they had won 3 in a row. They had just kicked the cream cheese out of the Bills, on the road. So for the Bucks to win that the way they did, forcing turnovers, forcing Carson Wentz into mistakes, and you're going to get, like, the scale of 1 to 10, Tom Brady in the offense, you're going to get, like, the 7 out of 10. You expect that. Or 7 to 10. But when you can get a defense to force turnovers, especially in a quarterback like Carson Wentz, and then you capitalize off them, I mean, I think this Bucks team is going to be pretty tough to beat, if not impossible.
Yeah, now Patterson has really established himself, the running back that they're going to face. And the Bucks are number one against the run. So I would assume that Matty Ice and the Falcons are kind of try to duplicate what they did last week. I don't know if they're going to be able to do it against this Buccaneers runs defense.
The biggest surprise was just how long it took Jonathan Taylor to get anything going for the Colts. In the first half, it was like, it's a broken record. You don't run against the Bucs because they don't allow anything. And there were some creases, and he got, some yards. But, the Bucs defense against the run is just unbelievable. And Patterson is kind of that gadget player. He's been, you can line him up in a wildcat, or you can, toss it to him or pitch it. But it's, he's going to have his work cut out for him because Todd Bowles, I think they don't skip over anything in the meeting. But you say, okay, run, they're not going to run, all right, on to the next. And it's, the front four, front seven for the Bucs has just been – maybe the most consistent part of the defense for sure, but most consistent part of this team.
Now, what do you make? You're mentioning that you think that with the GOAT and with the weapons that they're going to get theirs. But what about the emergence of Leonard Fournette? Do you think they will continue to ride playoff Lenny? That also helps with play action. What do you think, Kevin?
I mean, he goes from a first-round pick to the Jaguars. Okay, you take a guy that high in the draft, you think he's going to be your franchise running back. And then whatever happened, and he comes here on a one-year deal. And he was okay the regular season last year, and then playoff Lenny and the Lombardi Lenny. I mean, he had the best playoff run of a running back in recent memory. And then he comes back for a one-year, and you're like, okay, is it going to be Ronald Jones, Leonard Fournette? Are they going to use him, throw to him? Is he going to be the number one back? And he's established himself now, the Leonard Fournette with the 4 touchdowns. It's dance with who brought you. I think, as long as he's not broken and he, knows he's not going to carry it 25 or 30 times a game like a Derrick Henry, but he's going to get his touches, and whether it's Tom dumping it off to him or handoffs in the red zone, he's fine in the end zone. And I think, why go away from that on offense, the way you're using him? I mean, they don't have to use him. I don't think Bruce Arians and Byron Leftwich just say, oh, we have to use him more now because he's having success. I think he just finds success when Tom Brady finds the time to use him effectively.
Now, there are some that are saying, well, these last two games, Brady has not looked like the GOAT. And I'm like, well, okay, he is human, right? I mean, he's still up there for MVP. What are you seeing? Again, you're here at practice. You're watching. You're observing. Anything at all that you can tell us what you're seeing from Brady?
We can confirm, you and I, that he is a human being, in fact, and not a machine or a cyborg. But, I think you come to expect so much of him that, you know, oh, if it's not four touchdowns, no picks, it's like, oh, what's wrong? Or, you know, is he getting pressured? I mean, other teams have coaches, too. You know, other teams watch film. But he, you know, he comes to practice. The quarterback group he works with Coach Christensen, it's one of those things where they're clearly having fun, but they're clearly working and they're competing, you know, with every drill. And he's, you know, at this stage where he's doing a little bit of teaching, but he wants to go out playing at the highest level, you know, winning two Super Bowls and maybe even more than that. So I think Tom Brady is going to be Tom Brady, and there are games where he's not going to light up the scoreboard. But you look at the stat sheet and who among the league leaders, you got a 44-year-old guy, you know, still throwing touchdowns, and they're 8-3. I don't know before the season if there'd be a better case scenario than that.
All right, so what would be your X factor? Before I kind of get your prediction on how do you think it's going to shake out, what do you think will be the X factor for the Bucs playing in this dome in Atlanta? What do you think?
X factor, I think if they can force the Falcons into turnovers, I think it could be a blowout. Maybe that and maybe a special teams or gadget play one way or the other in the return game. But I think if they can force Matt Ryan into turnovers and you know, a fumble or an interception or just get to the quarterback, I think it could be a blowout.
How do you see it, though? I mean, it's been a crazy year. It's always the NFL. And they say, hey, man, the other team's getting paid, too. And this year it's been crazy. So how do you see this game? How do you think it's going to happen?
I mean, Atlanta is playing for their lives right now, you know, 5-6 in the division. They're not completely out of it, but it's getting there if they lose Sunday. And you have a veteran quarterback who showed flashes. I mean, the Falcons for stretches look really good. Like, if both teams had neutral color uniforms, you didn't know which team it was, you'd be like, oh, God, they're really good. But then they have other moments that just you're like, what's going on? I think the Bucs have shown they can go in a hostile environment and win. Being a division game, I think it'll in the touchdown to 10-point range, I think they can win. I think they're just better on both sides of the ball. When you have, you know, the best quarterback and position to position, the best players on the field, they will win. Not that it's not going to be a slugfest, but I think they will win in kind of hold-off fashion. I'd say 7-ish put touchdown. I don't know what the line on the game is, but if you're getting a touchdown, I think you take it.
All right, here's my last one. Since you're here, now I've been trying to tell Bucks fans, since we're here all the time, the one thing when I would talk to the so-called NFL experts, guys that would come through here, they would say, injuries? Okay, the Bucks have had injury. You know, what would hurt them from their run to get back again? It's so hard to repeat. And the other thing was complacency. And Brian Baldinger, Baldy's breakdowns, NFL Network, and I remember it was training camp, and Ira Kaufman from Joe Bucks Fan was over there, and he goes, it could be complacency. And Ira goes, come on, man. They're so talented. And he goes, hey, it's human nature. But you've been here. I've been here. I don't see the Buccaneers with complacency in their head at all this year. Am I wrong? You're here.
No, I don't think complacency. I think it's because they look almost relaxed after winning last year. And I think especially after the Giants game, I think the expression I would use or their temperament is kind of like a big exhale, that things are going, you know, you want to be 11-0. Every team, you don't want to lose. You want to be 11-0, but that's really not possible. But they're 8-3. They're first in the division. You know, if we saw a complacent team, I think that would have been addressed earlier, early in the season. They, you know, they wouldn't have gotten off to the start that they've gotten off to in the first 60% of the season. But I think they just look loose. Not to say that they're not focused and coming to work every day, but I just think it's a, again, the word relax, but no one's stressing out. No one's, you know, the info, everyone, it just seems like this team has been here for more, this lineup's been here for more than two seasons. You know, it's like, oh, like they've been together for years now. And I think that's key. And everyone, you know, seems to just get along, know their role, stay in each other's lanes, knowing they're all going the same direction. And especially, you know, at practice, it kind of every day looks the same. It just, everybody comes to work, everyone high fives, they joke a little bit, and then they get to work. And then the results you've seen so far on Sunday have been pretty good.
Great. Well, listen, Bucks fans are loving that. Kevin Lewis, ABC Action News Sports. You do a great job. Thanks so much, man, for coming on Bucks Kickoff.
Can't wait. Can't wait for Sunday, Rock. Thanks for having me.
You know, that was interesting, the one point that he brought up there, that what he notices, they just seem comfortable almost relaxed. Now, no, that's not, I don't know if I like that or not. I put up some video on social media on my Twitter at Real Rock Riley, and it was the lineman before practice the other day. And Donovan Smith came out and he just totally laid down on one of the dummies. And then Tristan Wirfs had his back and laid back down on him. And then they were just chewing the fat with Ali Marpet. And I had somebody comment saying, maybe that's why they're starting slow. Now, again, that is a little snippet of maybe 5 minutes before practice officially starts. It was a beautiful sunny day. The weather now at One Buck is just gorgeous. There's no rain. We haven't even had the humidity for 2 weeks. It's just the sun is shining, 75 degrees. I mean, it's gorgeous. So you know what? Donovan Smith, the offensive line, they have been balling out. They've been blocking for playoff Lenny. They've been, for the most part, doing a good job keeping the goat upright. I know Brady gets rid of it really, really fast, so that helps. They're 8-3. They've done a decent job. If Donovan Smith wants to lay down on the blocking dummy and look up at the sun, and Tristan Wirfs wants to lay back, that's okay. That's a little snippet, because once they get practice going, they get their work in. But I found that interesting. That's why I want to get different perspectives. Like, wow, that's what Kevin took, that they just look, seem like they're relaxed. I don't want it to be too relaxed. And again, this is in high school. I'll never forget Mike Allstott. Somebody asked Mike Allstott when he was playing the A-Train. We all remember the A-Train, right? And I'll never forget, it was over at the old One Buck in the woodshed, and we're in the locker room. It was on a Wednesday. And somebody asked Allstott, like, how do you get fired up, man? Do you know you're in your locker, you know, do you ever start yelling? Do you? And he goes, this is in high school. We don't take our helmets, we don't pound our heads into the lockers. This ain't high school. It's the NFL. And you're on film. And if you ain't getting it done, you ain't going to be around. So I thought that that was interesting, and I'll keep an eye on that. Now, the vibe was, it was strange. You know, it was kind of strange, because with the Antonio Brown news that broke, and you know what Arians had to say? That we have done the best job of any team in the NFL when it comes to COVID. They've only had two, and this is the second season. One was Antonio Brown, and that was it. They've done a great job. They really have. But I, and Arian said, I hope the investigation doesn't stop there. And he kind of almost, he had sunglasses on, but it was almost like a wink. Like, look, the word around is there are players, especially back in the summer. We all had a different mindset now than that had fake vaccination cards. These guys aren't the only ones. But, you know, Stroud reported it. He ended up being right. The former chef that didn't get the money from Antonio Brown, he was the snitch. If he didn't talk, it's almost like, you know what? When Jose Canseco blew the lid off of steroid use being run rampant back in the day. When Brady, what's his name, from the Orioles, he comes back and he hits like 55 home runs. What do you weigh, 175, 180? Like, what's going on here, you know? And yeah, Jose Canseco was, he was a snitch. It wouldn't be the way I did it. But had he not written that book and named names, we probably wouldn't have the stringent testing that we would have, that they have in Major League Baseball. The guys would be juiced out of their minds. So, I mean, you know, if the chef, he's, you know, regardless, I'm sure that Antonio Brown and Mike Edwards and John Franklin III were not the only ones. But it was kind of funny, and I did a little story about this. Back in the day, that would have been a huge distraction at practice. It was not a distraction at all for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Now, for Arians, for maybe Jason Light, that's a different story. Arians said, I'm pissed. He was pissed off. you know, of all last year, he was the whistleblower. He was telling everybody, like, don't bring COVID in here. You be careful. You're going home to your families. Don't bring that shit in here. You know, we got something going. He's been the guy. So he's put in a lot of work on that end. And it pissed him off. And he's like, I'm not mentioning their names for the next 3 weeks. We're going to consider them like they're out. They're injured. All right. They're not here. F it. You know? So I was kind of curious, but I've been around a long time and I know how it goes. The noise outside of the locker room is always so great and so big. And then usually you get there to the facility, you see the players, and they're like, they're not listening to a lot of that. Now, two things have changed. The biggest one is with COVID and the protocols. We don't go in the locker room. We don't go up to a player and ask questions. It's all done on whoever the organization wants to make available. And it's at a podium, well, sitting down. And they'll even, if it gets a little too long, they wrap it up. All right, one more question. We're going to wrap it up. If it's on Zoom, a lot of times they don't even, you don't get a follow-up. You know what I mean? So this news broke on a Thursday. I'm curious when I'm going to One Buck. I got in the media trailer and Kyle Berger from ABC Action News says to me, I wonder how this press conference is going to go. And I said, I don't think we're going to hear from a player. No, I think it's only going to be Arians. Now, it's not that unusual on a Friday that you actually get a player or two. A lot of times it is just Bruce Arians, and he kind of wraps it up. Who's in, who's out, couple of questions, boom. It's a shorter practice on Friday. They only go about an hour. They try to get him out of there. Now, I know up until this point, and I don't know if they did it on Friday, but the running backs and the line and Tom have gotten together for about an hour. Playoff Lenny and Brady were the ones that came up with that idea and just what works, what isn't. And ever since they started doing that, we're going over that a little bit extra in practice with the players themselves. It's worked. It's worked. So I don't know if they're doing that or not. But Playoff Lenny right now is on a stinking hot streak. Hey, before I tell you more of what I'm seeing at One Buck, let me go into the Falcons. This podcast, Buccaneers Kickoff. It's Bucks Kickoff at JoeBucksFan.com. And it's before every Buccaneer game. Boy, this season is moving along. Oh, my God. Whew. But 24 hours before every Buccaneers game, brought to you by Bill Curry Ford. Bill Curry Ford Tampa, Dale Mabry Highway in Tampa, quarter of a mile north of Raymond James Stadium. Beautiful showroom, plenty of vehicles, new and used. If you are even thinking about purchasing a vehicle, you're running up the miles on yours. Now's a real good time to turn in your used vehicle. Oh my God. You go to Bill Curry Ford, BillCurryFord.com. Sean Sullivan is the one that you'll want to talk with. He's the general manager. He'll answer any questions you may have, whether it be buying, leasing, or getting your vehicle serviced. Go to BillCurryFord.com. They love Buccaneer fans. They love Joe Bucks fans. You get a Joe Bucks fan discount if you mention that. And also, it's a nationwide lifetime warranty on new and used vehicles. Go to BillCurryFord.com. All righty, what am I seeing at One Buck Place? They're pumping up this is the first season that I can remember. Well, you know what? I'm there more now than I've ever been before. Almost, I think even more, yes, than the days when I was at Bay News 9. I'd be there on a Wednesday and Thursday now, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. They pumping the crowd noise, whether it's a home game or an away game, and they were pumping it in loud for this game. I also noticed Richard Sherman out there with the young guys, kind of talking with them. I also noticed Richard Sherman the last home game where he was out. And I saw him walking off the field with some of the younger guys too. And you know what? It might not have worked out yet. They first, what was it, one or two games, especially that first game, he helped out big time. I mean, he played almost damn near the whole game. They needed him at that time. Then, of course, he's beat up. He's injured. He'll be back. But what he's doing behind the scenes and helping out and being like a coach for these young guys, I'm noticing that. I think that that's pretty big, and I just wanted to bring that to your attention. Brady had a maintenance day on Thursday. Aarons is good about that. And it's hard to give Brady a maintenance day because he still goes out there. I'm watching. He still runs. He still does movements with his legs and keeping sharp. He even throws it still. I don't know. A maintenance day for Brady? But it was a maintenance day. Bruce Arians, he loves that golf cart. And you know what? I really watched him this week. Like, I don't know why other coaches don't do that. Because what he does is, he zips over to Todd Bowles. He'll stop, talk to Todd Bowles for a few minutes. Todd Bowles is sitting on one of those blocking dummies or a can that they turn upside down. That's Bowles' thing. He likes just sitting there. This is before practice starts. Lori Locus, sometimes Coach Locus is talking. So Brady's there for a minute. Aarons is there for a minute. And then he goes a little slower, and he goes out more towards the middle of the field. And he's watching a little bit of that drill. Oh, and then he drives up, boom, boom, boom. And he drives up, and there's a player. It could be anybody. It could be Carlton Davis. Could be Gronk. I saw him go over towards where Vita Vea was stretching, and then he stops right there. Boom, minute, probably checks things out. Then I saw him drive over to the offensive line on Thursday with Ali Marpet, and I noticed him looking and studying. He's watching Ali Marpet. Oh, and then he drives over there, and he's going to talk to so-and-so over there. And, like, if you're on foot, you're not getting around that fast unless you're jogging. And some coaches, maybe the younger ones, jog quick, but it's really interesting to watch. And I don't know how many other NFL coaches are doing it, but you know what? It's been stinking working out. All right, let me give you a little bit more detail of the Falcons, okay? I mentioned Cordarrelle Patterson, 108 yards rushing in that Jacksonville game. He started to come on a little bit. You could see it in week two when they played the Falcons? But boy, oh boy, different player now. Like, he's got the confidence. They're feeling him. 16 carries, 18 touches, 7.5 yards per touch. That was his season high in carries, Patterson. Now, good luck if you're going to just try to run him, Matty Ice. But he is physical. There was one play in the Jacksonville Jaguars game. I don't know if you saw it. He took care of a corner trying to tackle him and just manhandled him, and boom, he was in for the touchdown. They rotated centers. The Falcons offense in this last game, the Falcons offensive line, they were actually pushing the Jacksonville Jaguars D-line back. And what that does is, not only are they asserting their will at the line of scrimmage, but that also allowed Patterson to hesitate and look for the hole and cut back. Cordarrelle Patterson is not really a cutback runner, but what the O-line was doing and getting that push, that allowed him to cut back at times. Like I said, this guy came into the league as a receiver. Matty Ice can hit him out of the backfield. He's their guy right now. Falcons defense, they took it away from the Jags. Big splash plays, only five plays of 15 or more. Two takeaways. Okay, they're starting to do that now. Dante Fowler, more comfortable as a pass rusher. The Buccaneers, when they are going to call a playoff Lenny or Rojo, or maybe they even give the rock a little bit to Gio Bernard, I doubt it, unless it's a third down situation, maybe the red zone. But let's just say when they're going to run it, you don't want to run at Grady Jarrett. He gets inside. This guy can get into the backfield. And another thing that I noticed, he's good at causing holding penalties. And we all know how it's being called. At least it has. Now, every official is different. But that's something that I'm just going to warn you on. And the Buccaneers are known for penalties, are they not? So be aware of that. Can Leonard Fournette stay hot? Will Matt Ryan be able to match Brady touchdown for touchdown? I don't think so. Do not let Matty Ice get Kyle Pitts going. What happened to Kyle Pitts, Atlanta Falcons play caller? Six games ago, I went back to the Dolphins game, and Kyle Pitts had 7 catches. He was looking good. The last 5 games, Kyle Pitts has 14 catches. That's just 3 a game. Matt, you know, it'd be good for the Bucs if he doesn't, but I'm telling you, Kyle Pitts is a weapon, and Matty Ice has not really been using him. So I was looking at the season for the Atlanta Falcons, and just not a good or consistent team. Now, again, what have you done for me lately? That was a win that they needed, and they did a lot of things right last Sunday against Jacksonville. The opening game, they lost to the Beagles 32-6. And as Arians always says, throw that first game out the window. You don't know. You haven't hardly had a preseason. Starters haven't played. He goes, I don't make anything of that first game. Hell, look at the Green Bay Packers, right? And Aaron Rodgers. Look at that game, right? And now look at the Packers. So anyway, okay, they lost to the Eagles. They lost to the Bucs. It was week 2. I knew it was really early. 44-25. It was tight, and then the offense with the Bucs got going. Then they beat the Giants by 3. They lost to the Washington football team by 4. They beat the Jets 27-20. They beat the Dolphins by 2. They lost to the Panthers. They beat the Saints by 2. They lost to the Cowboys 43-3. They lost to the Patriots 25-0. And then, of course, they beat the Jaguars 21-14. So what I'm saying is, before this Jaguars game, Cowboys and Patriots, they're crushed. They only had 1 field goal in 2 straight games. And the Atlanta Falcons fan base is still split on Matty Ice. I think it's been like that for how long? All right, so let's go back just a little bit to that Buccaneer game against the Colts. I thought that was a big win, because I, watching that game, how loud, damn it, it was coming through my TV. The audio, holy crap. It was loud. The Colts fans were jacked up. The Bucs did not look good. I was surprised after, you know, watching most of that, honestly, that the Buccaneers got the win. Not when you give Brady time. Brady's going to get it done, but I wasn't feeling it. I really wasn't. Playoff Lenny, 4 touchdowns. The big one, 20 seconds left. That 28-yard touchdown run, that was a thing of beauty. Lenny, 17 carries, 100 yards, 3 rushing touchdowns, 1 receiving touchdown. He caught 7 passes, 31 yards. The GOAT's going with Lenny because Lenny is hot. Brady leads a comeback. He is 16-4 all-time against the Colts. You know what? With his record in the Super Bowl, of course he's going to have a great record against pretty much everybody. Pretty much. Gronk, 7 catches, a season high 123 yards. He gets my game ball. He gets my game ball. He is so big. I told you last podcast, he reminds me of like a power forward where these DBs do not have a chance. His size and his strength. I remember going back to last training camp, not this previous training camp, the last training camp. And I remember... No. Yeah. He's only been here 2 years. He sat out and then he played for the Patriots. So it was 2 years ago. And I remember we were interviewing Cameron Brate. And he said, I watched him when I was at Harvard. Of course. He was in, you know, Cameron Brate College in Boston. He used to watch them. And he goes, I'd marvel at him, you know. And then being out in the playing field. And when he got out there, I was like, he is so damn big. You don't realize how big and strong he is. And then I believe it was one of the Joes wrote about it where he put on a little bit more thickness this year. Because if you remember, when Gronk retired, he was beat up. His back, his ligaments, his joints from the lifting. And then I told a story on a podcast. I'm not going to get detailed now, where he went into a yoga class down in Miami and nobody knew who he was. It was all women. And he, I guess he was just down there. He went into the class and they were laughing. This big, big, big guy was not, was trying to stretch out and do the things that they were doing, these women in a yoga class. But he ended up, and I think it was his girlfriend, saying that he just stopped with the heavy lifting and a whole year without doing that and doing yoga and all the other things and just, you know, let his body heal, take that extra weight off. And then, but always, he always stayed in good shape, but not football shape. And then when he came to the Bucks, remember that? It was in the heat and he wasn't used to it. And it's if you're not practicing prior to training camp and you just come back down here in that break they give you after the last mini camp, and all of a sudden you're in this heat in the summer and humidity, oh, it ain't going to happen. And, but eventually he got it. He got it. And then this year, I believe he's put on a little bit more thickness and he's still got his size and strength. He boxes out when he catches the ball out away from his body. Nobody's going to get it. So Gronk's the man. Gronk had a great, 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 great game in that last one. Yeah. And of course, Brady got the ball, 3:29 left, 31-31. Who you betting on? All right. The Buccaneers created turnovers. The Colts had 5 turnovers. Brady and the O-line converted on all of them, but the last one, the interception, was on the final play of the game. So that was the key. Not only were the Buccaneers forcing turnovers and the Colts were creating, you know, Colts were making turnovers, but the Buccaneers converted. The Bucs' key defensive plays, Indy was up at the half. Early third, Shaq Barrett came through. You need these splash plays, man, in crunch time. He came up with the strip sack. He recovered the football. 6 plays later, Lenny, 4-yard touchdown, boom. Antoine Winfield. To me, that was there was a couple that could have been a play of the game, but Antoine Winfield, they list, if he's listed as 5'10", dude, I'm 6'1". He's 5'9". And he went up against Michael Pittman Jr. Michael Pittman Jr. is 6'4". I remember his dad. You know what? I'm taking up too much time. So I would love to go into that story with Michael Pittman, his dad, when he came here. But anyway, Michael Pittman Jr. And he outfought him. He went up. I don't know if he put it. Tampa Bay Buccaneers put it on their account. It was like size doesn't matter. It was great. Brady right down on the next series. Boom, Ronald Jones, touchdown, go-ahead score. Special teams, Hines fumbled that punt return. Let's see, also, oh, the clutch, Mike Edwards, that touchdown-saving tackle. Remember that 72-yard kickoff return, 10 seconds left? How about Levante David, the pass breakup? The fragrant one, as Joe likes to say, Pierre Desir, interception on that Hail Mary. But the Colts tied it up. Jonathan Taylor, you know, when I know Arian said, oh, nobody runs on us. Oh, once Jonathan Taylor at the end, it was late. He was starting to run it. And I think their head coach admitted, like, the play calling, the decision, it was kind of a mistake. You know what I mean? But anyway, the 4-yard touchdown, 3:29 left. Brady brings him down. Fournette's touchdown run. Boom, 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 boom. Arian's bragging. No one runs on us. We don't care who you got. All right, the Falcons, how did they do it? Besides Patterson, the Falcons only had 1 field goal, like I told you in the 2 games prior. The Falcons had turned it over 7 times, not making the turnovers. Okay. Oh, and the other thing, I thought this was one of the best lines by Arians after this game. Remember when Vita Vea got the tooth knocked out? And oh, it was a great shot that was captured. You usually don't see that, where it was slow mode and Vita's mouth hit on the helmet of the Colts player and the tooth just went flying out and he was all bloodied and stuff. And it was Jenna Lane from ESPN after the game asked Arians about the tooth. I wrote it down. Here it is. You know, did you notice? It was reported that he lost the tooth and he goes, this is Arians. I don't care. He's got 30 others. Yeah, he can play without a tooth. That ain't nothing. I thought that was hysterical. And a lot of people were saying, how does Arians know you have 30 teeth in your mouth? It turns out it's like 32 or 33 teeth. Honestly, if it would have been real quick and nobody was prepping me and I was going to be asked about how many teeth you got in your mouth? 26? I don't know. 35? I have no idea, but I thought that was hysterical by Arians. All right, let's go back to the Buccaneers' last game against the Falcons. Now, I don't like to do this too much in depth because, again, what was done in week two ain't the same on what's happening right now. More guys are beat up. Schemes are a little bit different. Things have changed. Just like I said, it was no risk it, no biscuit. Beginning of the season, Brady is checking it down. You know, playoff Lenny has one more catch than Mike Evans. So the Bucs beat the Falcons 48-25. That game was at Ray J. I was there up in the press box. I remember it clearly. Brady was on fire. 5 touchdown passes, 2 to Gronk, 2 to Mike Evans. Safety Mike Edwards had 2 picks returned for touchdowns. And I remember in the post game, we asked him, he's like, that never happened to me before. Pop Warner, backyard, anywhere. Now, Patterson, he had 2 touchdowns, second half, 1 running, 1 receiving. You could start to see a little bit like, wow, this Patterson, man, he's got something. And again, he's dangerous through the air and on the ground. If the Buccaneers win this game, I'm expecting them to do so. I really am. If they win this game, it would be 2 seasons in a row that they have swept the Falcons. They have never done that in the history of the NFC South. You know when the NFC South was formed? Do you know? Do you know? Don't look it up. It was 2002. Wow. Why, when I'm getting older, time is just freaking flying by, you know? 2002. Hell, I still remember the black and blue. I remember when they were playing the Vikings and the Green Bay Packers. And that doesn't even seem like it's that long ago. Holy crap. That blew me away. Couple of other things. Last thing from last week. Devin White, he had the quad. He hurt his hip. But you know what? Like I said, he's young. He can take a lot of pain. He came back and he actually did a good job when he came back after hurting his hip. It was worrisome. Nick Leverett. Now, he also had one mistake, and that's what I can kind of remember, but he gets a game ball. That's what Arian said. He stepped in for Aaron Stinney, and that was because Stinney was in for Ali Marpet with the oblique. Now, I watched Ali Marpet this week in practice. He looks like he's okay. He looks like he's fine. I would be very surprised if he didn't play the whole game unless he tweaks that thing. But again, I was watching him in drills and in blocking, going up against other players. He looked fine. I think he's going to be okay. But Leverett did get beat by Buckner for a sack. That's the one that I remember. A couple of pressures. All in all, though, he did a good job blocking and especially in the run. Gronk. He was in on 82% of the snaps. I mean, you know, I don't know what happened with the ribs, with the punctured lung, according to Jake Glazer. Damn, he looked good in this game. Cameron Brate only had 17 snaps, 25%. Again, Gronk was in on 82% of the snaps. You know what? Keep him going because there was a great answer by Arians on Friday. And Jenna asked him, how do you figure out wanting to go into the playoffs, you know, strong and sharp, but also not burning out like your starters? How do you do that and start thinking about, like, maybe you got to rest them a little bit? I'm just paraphrasing. And Arians goes, you can't get to January without winning in December. Like, I'm not. You know, I'm sure it's in the back of their minds. And again, they have a big staff and they study all this stuff. But I don't like when teams kind of rest and lay. It just doesn't seem to work. And it's a violent game, man. What are you going to do? play him. If they're okay to go, go and go. So anyway, and O.J. Howard was only in on 9 plays. That's like 13%. What happened with O.J. Howard? Because when I saw him at Donovan Smith's cornhole tournament, and I interviewed him one-on-one off to the side, and at the time he had a nagging, it was either a foot or a leg injury, and I said, how you doing now? How you feeling? The Achilles. And he goes, oh, the Achilles? Oh, I'm way past that. That isn't even a factor. I mean, because he's built like a brick shit house, and he's in good shape. So what happened? I thought he'd be a little bit more now. Scotty Miller, boy, they're resting him. He was only in on 4 snaps. Tyler Johnson, that's the one that I was thinking about earlier. He was in on 48 snaps, 72%. Man, they're giving him a shot. Evans, 99%. Godwin, 97%. Gronk, 82%. Scotty Miller, I'd like to see him a little bit more. All right, what else do we got here? The whole vaccination thing. Do you really care? Do you really care the Antonio Brown and the whole deal? I don't. Boom. Forget about that. He's not here for this game. He's out for 3 games, like Arian said. I'm not mentioning his name right now. Further along we go. I'm the guys that are playing in this game. All right, so overall, there was no... Oh, that was the thing. There was really no distraction, because none of the players were asked. It was on a Friday when we showed up at $1 after the news broke about Antonio Brown and Mike Edwards being suspended for 3 games for the fake vaccination cards. No, because normally what would happen is you go in the locker room and it would be like, oh, did you know anything? And did you know anything about this? And you know, the ex-chef said that it was a Buccaneer player that was selling the vaccination cards. Did you see or hear of anything like that? You know, how are you feel about vaccination and the cards? Now, you guys are 100% vaccinated. What about Antonio Brown? Are you going to miss him? And that's what it would have been like. That's just how it goes. The big story was Antonio Brown, and because it's Antonio Brown, but there's none of that. So when I got to the facility and I see them out on the practice field and they're just going about business like it is business as usual, you would not know that there's any kind of drama going on outside the building. Like, you know, I know Jenna Lane from ESPN. She was on with Scott Van Pelt. You know, they scheduled her. NFL Network had a separate crew on Friday, even though they had their reporter there on Thursday, because Tom Talks, you know, the coverage is a little bit bigger. But yet for the player, there's no distraction. There wasn't. And as Arian said, they don't give a shit. I don't give a shit. It's about the Falcons game. So it was kind of interesting to see, you know. And even prior to COVID, once you get out on the field, do you think any of those players in that dome, in that beautiful stadium, inside on Sunday, are thinking about a fake vaccination card back in July? Or are they even thinking about Mike Edwards or Antonio Brown? Hell no. So all that shit goes out the window. It's about the Bucs. Again, no stoop. Don't play dumb football. You did not play dumb football last week against Indy. That was a hell of a good game. Some of the players were saying that was like a playoff game. That was intense. Bring that. Don't get off to the slow start. Because if you get up on Matty Ice, there's no way with this Falcons offense that hasn't been consistent to play catch up with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And Buccaneers defense, you're number one against the run. Let's see it. Maybe you don't contend. Like, Patterson is all, he says we can't be stopped. All right, let's see. Remember Bosa? We want Brady? All right, Patterson, we can't be stopped. We put our mind to it. All right, you put your mind to it for this kickoff at 1:00, and you tell me if you can't be stopped when you see Vita Vea in the middle with that gap in his tooth smiling at your ass. All right, this Bucks kickoff podcast is brought to you by Bill Curry Ford, Sean Sullivan, the GOAT, BillCurryFord.com, nationwide lifetime warranty on new and used vehicles. Nobody has that. And they love Bucks fans, and they give a Joe Bucks fan discount. Oh, my God. Thank you very much for listening. Thank you for supporting Sage and the Joes and Bobby and Todd and the Scuttlebutts and everybody else involved with this badass website, joebucksfan.com, number one for a reason. And I'll talk to you next week. Enjoy the game. Enjoy this win. I hope so. Over the Dirty Birds.